What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that. Welcome to How to Not Comedy. Eddie Rockefeller. Thank you. Thank you for coming on again.
Am I close enough? Am I good?
Probably about a little bit closer.
Yeah. All right.
You want about a...
How's that?
We'll put it in your terms. You want about a dick length from the thing.
How long is your dick?
I'm about 6 inches. How long are the dicks that you've been seeing?
Mitch's length away. Oh, right here? Right fucking here? Okay.
Yeah, let's slut shame our guest first thing.
Slut shame? That wasn't slut shame. You just talked about dick length. You never said anything about me using them a lot.
I was putting it in terms that you'd understand.
You just think the second you start talking about dicks, it's dick shaming me.
Yeah.
About dick length, we're obviously shaming Eddie.
Yeah.
Well, just because my dick's so small, all right? You don't have to...
Yeah. That's why we always got along. It's one thing we've got in common.
It's got tiny clits.
Yeah. Big clits, little dicks.
My clit's little, but my dick is huge.
Yeah.
It's in my top drawer. It's rechargeable.
You don't keep them in your drawers, you savage.
No, I don't. I'll leave them out. Mitch came over one time because you were doing a promo for a show we were doing together. And I swear to God, mid-conversation, I go, Mitch, don't turn around. I just realised I left my vibrators out. They're just hanging there. And to be fair, if I'd never mentioned them, you probably wouldn't have seen them.
No, I probably wouldn't have.
No, you probably wouldn't have even noticed. Well, I don't put them out, like, on display, but I just don't leave alone. There's literally no reason for me. I just pop them there. It's fine. Yeah.
It'd be weird if I'm like, oh, can I use your bathroom? Walk in, there's just one, like, suction cup to the wall. There's two suction cups to the wall.
To be honest, very efficient. You know, put all the clean up in the bathroom. Yeah. That makes sense to me.
That is a good idea,
Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
Put a bed in the bathroom. Let's go.
Yeah.
We're revolutionising the sex industry right now.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. You start fucking in a shower chair. Now you're doing it.
It's the next evolution of the sex swing. It's just in a wide open space in a pool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like one of those empty pools. Just hose you down after. You'll be fine.
It's the shower chair is a sex swing for 80-year-olds.
Yeah, you thought they just couldn't stand up in the shower. Oh, they kick you motherfuckers, all right? Your grand's been doing some nasty.
Yeah, dude. Okay. There's a reason why she keeps throwing her hip out.
Yes. That's good shit.
Very good.
I've newfound respect. Grandma's everywhere.
You're never going to look at a shower chair.
Teach me your ways, sex shower. What is it? Shower chair. The wrong word. Anyway. All right. What's been happening, boys?
Not a lot. I bombed pretty bad on Wednesday.
Oh, so
still
what's new?
Thinking about that.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was
on
a
Tuesday?
Fucking Wednesday. Yeah.
I was on
you
that show.
You were hosting.
Yeah, I was hosting. Yeah, it was rough.
I think you just got in your head. Like, the last time I did Is This Something, I walked in halfway through your MC, but you were like, you were doing a really good job for that one.
Crushing.
You set everybody up for it. Mm. And, I don't...
I just didn't feel like the crowd was really, like, didn't like me, wasn't really into me. I kept fucking...
Yeah, but they didn't like you because you were bombing.
If I stopped bombing, it would have been fine.
If you told some fucking jokes, they would have liked you.
Yeah, you're right.
You're very likable, bitch. On stage, off stage, duh.
Yeah.
What happened? You were doing crowd work or?
Yeah, I was doing crowd work. You can't crowd work 9 people.
No, it's hard.
It's fucking rough. And then when the crowd work didn't work, I just brought up acts.
People literally said, oh, tell us a joke or something. It will be funny or something. What was it? Oh, I came here for a laugh.
Yeah,
like,
and all you're doing is asking
questions. I came here to laugh. Yeah, she was complaining.
Yeah, she started critiquing the show halfway through.
It's like the show hasn't even properly started. And she's all, oh, I came here for you to make me laugh.
Fuck. I wish I'd have seen her teeth before then, because I would have fucking unloaded. Because I saw her at the end of the show, and she was a minger. I was like, whoa, dude.
A minger.
She was
that
like,
one in a while.
It was fucking rough,
well,
dude.
Well, she had a reason she wanted to get up the show and laugh, bitch.
Yeah,
so, like...
I know. And then she's like, oh, maybe if you made us laugh to one of the other comedians, and he immediately got it back with something. And the whole room popped. And then it was like, yeah. It was fucking, it was perfect. And then I got on stage. I was like, oh, see? Made you laugh. Got what you came for.
Ticket price paid for. Now you can leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, well, the ticket price was free.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Like last time I did it, I was just in the groove. I think. Yeah.
You were excited because it was a new show. I'm guessing.
It was a new show and it was like a decent crowd. That helped. I was like, yeah. I think there was like 15 people last time. Which
I always think my go-to, though, when I'm not feeling in the realm, because, like, every now and then it happens to comedians, you'll have days where you're like, I'm fucking on, let's riff, let's crowd work, let's do some stuff, and other days where you're like, okay, I'm just not on it today.
Mm.
I rely on my material,
yeah.
Which I tell jokes.
Yeah, I know. But the new material I've got, I couldn't rely on.
No, but so. you could have told your old jokes because you're not held to the new material part of the night, I don't think. As the MC, your only job is to get the crowd warmed up for the new material stuff.
Yeah.
So you could always, like, start with a couple of... This is just obviously my impression. You do not have to listen to it. Mm. But, like, you could always start with just, like, a few jokes that you know will hit just to start the show off with a few laughs.
Yeah.
And then go, right, well, this isn't a new material night, so do you guys mind if I try new? And then, you know, get it out and be like, what about this one? And then you can crowd work them after each joke and be like, what do you think? How can we make it better, guys? Like, I think that could be a really cool way to start the show.
Yeah. I think I'll probably do that next time. I'm just going to fucking not bitch out next time. That's what's going to happen. Yeah.
I've seen you crush as MC. And then I see you other times where you're like, you've given up before you've even stepped on stage.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mitch, come on. Like, you're good, you know? Well, it's the only time you ever fucking see me. So luckily it's recorded. Like, I'll never say it again, Mitch.
Yeah. I was, I wasn't necessarily like upset or depressed or anything like that, but I was like, I was flat.
Yeah, yeah.
I was probably just like walking around all day.
Yeah, because you can't be on all the time. It's just impossible.
Mm.
But that's why you have the jokes to fall back on.
Yeah.
That's why you have the material. Be like, okay, this. And what's good about it is that like when you have your off nights, when you've been in the comedy game a while, when you have your off nights, you can rely on your material and still deliver. It won't be a crusher set, but it will be a good set that will keep the night flowing, keep the momentum going. And then the other comedians who are feeling on that night can be the crusher sets that night.
Yeah.
And then you'll have it will be opposite another show. I've had shows where I was on and I was like crushing and other comedians were just like, oh, I'm just sitting in the groove tonight. That's fine. And then I've had other shows where I'm like, right, I'm just hanging on by the skin of my teeth. I'm just getting through this. I'm just getting the jokes done. And then other people were fucking on that night, you know? Like it's hard. Like, well, I think that one of the hardest things as a comedian is learning how to put yourself in that on mode. Before you go on stage.
Mm. Yeah, riffing before a show. Standing around riffing helps heaps.
Being on stage before a show is always helpful.
Mm.
So, we just did a show the other night at Waterboard Bowling Club.
Yeah.
And I did like a 15... I just come off an hour show, but I was sleep deprived, so it wasn't hitting me that well, and it was a 4:30 p.m. show, so it wasn't a great show.
Yep.
And I came and did that, and so it took a little while for me to warm up. But then I went to the comedy club after that and did a set, and I crushed that set.
Yeah.
Because by then, the you know how you kick over at like 8 p.m. and your brain goes, all right, not our time. So I kicked over. I stopped being sleep deprived, and then all the warming up of the previous sets hit me, and I was like, oh, okay, now we're good. Let's go. Yeah.
That Waterboard gig was fucking great.
Mm.
It was way, way better than I expected. People say, oh, yeah, RSL gig. And you're like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, bowling club,
brutal.
Yeah.
But,
like, they all bought tickets, so it was different because of that. And they were all keen for a laugh. They were all keen to be involved.
Yeah.
But I did see the open space and I was like, oh, we'll see.
Yeah. I think I was like, all right, I just got to bridge that gap. So, like, start of the show, I just got down off the stage and went to the table because there was, like, a table right in the middle that was completely empty and then, like, a bunch of people behind it. And I was like, well, you're not going to get away with it. I'm just going to walk forward now.
Yeah.
And then I just crowd worked them. I had a couple of, like, bits that landed really well.
Yeah, it was a good instinct to get off the stage. I was planning on doing the same thing, and then you did it first. I'm like, ah, oh, that was my move.
Yeah,
and I was like, no, it's a good move. That was,
yeah,
it was needed. It was like one of those things where it's good to have the stage be like, oh, this is the stage. But then it meant that having the stage and stepping off, it became the connecting movement. You know, if we didn't have the stage, you walking towards them wouldn't have been such of a bigger thing.
No.
Do you know what I mean? You stepping off the stage and coming closer was like, oh, he's right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was more of a thing.
Yeah.
It, which was good.
I think it made a difference.
I agree.
Yeah. And the crowd was fucking really, really good too.
Like, yeah, they were very much a crowd, though, that wanted to talk about themselves. Like, very, you know what I mean? Like, that sounds bad, but they were just a crowd that they wanted to be interactive. So the second you included them in the humour, they were losing their shit, laughing their ass off. It was great. They'd still laugh at just, like, the straight punt jokes as well. But you, oh, it just hit another level the second you got them involved.
Yeah. Started crowd working them. Because they all, there was a bunch of people there that worked together.
Yeah,
and it was like the boss there, but we figured out he wasn't really the boss. I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm the boss." I'm like, "I manage the business." I was like, "Oh, so you own the business?" He goes, "No, I don't own the business." I was like, "Oh, so you're not the boss?" The whole room just like erupted. It was like hilarious. It wasn't even a punchline.
This guy thinks he's the boss.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like somebody getting their comeuppance. You know, someone being that arrogant, like, "Oh, the fuck, I'm
it's
boss."
It's about time
like,
someone
oh, actually,
fucking told him.
Yeah.
That's totally for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
they've all wanted to say it for so long.
100%. Yeah,
he would just been like so deflated.
Yeah, he was. Oh, he had that look on his face, like, oh,
he's right. God damn.
Big man about town. Oh, yeah. Apparently not.
Yeah, that'll fucking learn you. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
You did a good set. See, that was a good MC set.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. I have been practicing like a fair bit, like trying to host as much as I can. So. It was good that it worked out that night. And the Wednesday I had plenty of lessons. There's plenty of lessons there. So
yeah,
I'll just
for sure.
I'll when it's not going well like that or if it's a small crowd or whatever. I just if the crowd work doesn't work, I've just got to bail.
You just got to go into bits.
And go into bits.
Like I feel like it's the crowd work is excellent if you can get it to work, but if it's not, you just got to go, okay, well as an MC, my job here is to save the momentum as much as I can. Right, let's do some bits. And, like, no one can blame you if the crowd isn't super into it. Like, sometimes it is the crowd. Like, no offense.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's not, though. Most of the time, we are in control.
I'd say last week was definitely not the crowd because comedians were doing well.
Yeah.
I mean, Taylor fucking had a cracking set at the end to close out the show. I don't know if you were around for it.
Yeah, I stayed for the whole thing.
Yeah, because he had a rough one the week before because I had him up first. So I was like, oh, fuck, Taylor's a solid comedian. He'll be a good opener.
Yeah, but I think like I it's not just about being solid. Sometimes it's about your content and the kind of content he does.
Yeah, well, the crowd was not ready for it. So.
It's like, oh, especially when it's new. It's actually, when he's got it refined, it's fine. He can go anywhere. But when it's new stuff, he tends to overuse certain words that get people offside.
Yeah.
Because he's still trying to figure out the wording.
Yeah, he's saying retard and gay. And he's saying, that's fucking gay.
Yeah.
And there's like a gay guy in the front row, like,
yeah, he
right
lost
there.
Everyone.
And everyone fucking puckered up. Like, everyone. Yeah. And I don't think he realised.
He actually did all right for most of it.
It was fine.
It was at the end.
Yeah, I think it was.
But it went off.
Yeah, right. I think he used the word gay too much, and I could literally see people shifting in their chairs and stuff like that.
I think I'm thinking of a set I saw him for one of the showcases.
Yeah, yeah, and then
he started early, and it was just those bits. He has some bits that are like fantastic, and they're easy to do through, like they hit the audience well. But those particular bits where he overuses the R word or the calls things gay. Those are the two bits that you have to like. They're like walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're like if you get people on the right side, it's hilarious. It's a great bit. And if you go a little bit too far over, those are the bits.
That's why I think he's honestly like one of the best in Newcastle at the moment because he's just getting away with it. Like he gets away with the craziest bits and like saying retard and gay a lot. And he's like actually getting away with it. I'm like, that's where comedy is like should be.
Yeah.
Like if you, it doesn't.
I'm I'm not sure I believe that anymore. I used to think that as well, but like it's.
I'm
like
not
this
saying in terms of like
game.
Just edginess. I'm just like it, any bit. You could do like a safe bit, like what? Well, not a safe bit, but like a clean bit. But like if you get away with it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but yeah. I'm just saying that I'm not entirely sure I agree with the idea of like I get it as a, like a measuring sort of thing of like, oh, you see how he's talking about this harsh subject and the audience still loves him? Mm. Well, that's how you can tell how good he is. Like I can see it as a metric, but I don't see it as like a goal. I don't think it should be a goal. It shouldn't be a whole thing of like, oh, I want to prove how good I am, so I'm going to find the edgiest subjects I can and say the craziest, awfulest stuff onto stage.
Yeah,
to see if I can
totally
get away
agree.
With it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it should be the goal.
I'm not saying it to
I think
be
write a bit if it's something that you're talking about, which is, like, something that Taylor does. Like, he's not, like, going... He's not writing a bit going, I'm going to see how many times I can say retard before I get kicked off stage. No. He's just... That's just, like, who his personality is. Like, he grew up one of those boys groups that always uses the R word as, like, a, you know...
Yeah. We all did. I think...
I didn't. Yeah. You know, like, I'm not a boy, so...
Yeah. But what Ethan was saying is it's that ability to take on a tough subject, but say, like, make a point in a way that's almost undeniable. Like, his new bit about autistic people, how...
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it away. He's got this new bit
Don't,
about
you,
autistic
you won't do
people.
It justice.
I won't do it justice.
And you'll get cancelled.
But it's so
fucking
clever. Yeah, no, you're right. It's so fucking clever though. So it's like he's doing like he's making really clever points up there. And when it like when the crowd's on his side and going along with it, if you go along with it and they're on his side, I don't think there's a I don't think there's many comedians who can fucking follow him.
Yeah, I do think, though, that sometimes if he just pulled back his use of that word, he could still make the point and still have people on side more of the time.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that comes down to the use of swear words as well. It's the same point, which is if you overuse swear words...
No, because people don't get uncomfortable around swear words.
Yeah, they do.
They do, 100%.
100%.
If you're saying cunt all the time.
A bunch of old fucks that are just like, ah, oh, she said fucking cunt too much.
Yeah, not as wide of a scale, though.
No, I agree there. But if you use less swear words in your sets, when you do have the swear words,
it has more impact.
It lands way more. Yeah. And an example I've got is my Elon Musk bit.
Yeah.
If I use, because I'll call him like a big gangly cunt or something like that, and I'll get away with it. But if I'm saying, like, fucking dumb fucks in my street and all of that stuff leading up to it,
well,
it does not land as hard. Whereas if I'm not, if I purposely not swear and then I call him a big gangly cunt, it fucking lands way harder.
Yeah, because okay, so first of all, the swearing is the thing that makes it hit harder at the end of the punchline.
Yeah.
But if you swear all up until the punchline, you take a lot of the hit out
exactly.
of the punchline.
Exactly.
So
That's the same as if Taylor is using retard a lot.
Yeah.
He's gone.
He's taking the punch out of it.
He's taking the punch out of it. He's taking like the.
But the retard word is further though, because it's not even just taking the punch out of it. It's also the fact that it's like one of those words that every time somebody hears it, they go, ooh, ooh, ooh. And if you make somebody do that too many times in a set. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas if you say the word fuck too many times in a set, people just go, ah.
Yeah, he just
they
swears
don't go,
too much.
Ooh. They just go, oh, he said fuck 10 times. Oh, it's getting boring. You know what I mean? It's like when my ex used to bitch with his friends. He'd say, like, fuck every single second word. And I wasn't offended by the word fuck. I was just bored of it. Do you know what I mean? If you swear too much in a set, yeah, it can be that, like, it's just because you overuse it, people get bored of it, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't, well, you know what I mean? Like, saying the word fuck can make a punchline hit harder.
Yeah.
If you 100%. Just use it right.
If you use it right.
And don't overuse it.
I think that's where it comes
I think it's
down
like
to.
Different. I think it's slightly different.
But I think
because it's like using like the R word. Oh, I'm sorry, not the like retard. I mean like, you know, R-A-P. I'm trying not to say it all. Fuck me, you're going to have so many recordings
like
of me saying these awful words.
I mean rape.
That's the one. Yeah.
Like when Eddie does her sets and she uses the N word a lot. She just can't stop.
Actually, it's a bit of a problem, Eddie. We've actually brought you on to talk about it.
Yeah,
your use of the N word is a bit prolific at this point.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to say no.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So it's just like these words, they have so much power. So you can, because they have so much power, you can use them in a way that can hit so well in comedy. But they also have power the opposite way to just turn people right off you. So it has to be so delicate the way you use it. And I think Taylor has this way where he pauses and he'll wait before he say it. And when he does that, that's delicately using it, right?
Yeah.
That's because he's trying not to say it, so he's showing that reserve on it, which gets people on side. He's like, oh, he's reserved about it, so he's not saying it in that mean way, but he did say it, so it was funny and they laugh, right? But then when he does that 10 times in a row, they're like, okay, well, you know, they've done that too many times.
Yeah.
That's sort of my reasoning.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think, but yeah, he's... Some of his new material. And it was good. It was good seeing him, because I was like, fuck, I don't know. Because he was really hating on himself after the last one. He was like, that was fucking shit, man.
Everyone does after a bombing set.
Yeah. Seeing him come back and fucking.
But he's doing so much new material recently, which I really respect him for. Like, you got to go. It's got to suck for a while, always, when you're constantly doing new material. Mm. But then the thing is, it just starts clicking over and all of your new material starts hitting, which is really great. So it's. You know, because you're forcing yourself to write and be on stage with new stuff all the time, you just get so much better so much faster.
Yeah. Your jokes get better. Jokes get better. Every new joke that you write is better than the last. It's like,
exactly.
I don't know about that.
Not every.
not everyone.
I'm pretty bad.
Your skills get better and your performance and your ability to land on your feet gets better. Your tolerance of having no laughs gets better, so you're more comfortable on stage, and that makes things hit better.
Yeah.
People sometimes I have people respond to me after sets I've done, and the very first thing they say is just, they'll say, you know, compliment, oh, you were great, blah, blah, blah. And they'll be like, oh, you just stepped up there and you were just so confident. Like, you forget sometimes how just being confident on stage makes people instantly trust you and just sink back and be ready for whatever you say and be ready to laugh. Just if you appear confident. The second you get up and you show a little bit of nerves of, oh, I don't know if this is going to hit, the audience becomes, oh, well, we don't know if it's going to hit now then. Yeah. If you're not confident about it, we're not confident about it.
It's like they can smell blood in the water.
Yeah, it's like horses or
that
sharks.
Fat dude's got his period. No. Let's get him.
Did you say horses?
Yeah, horses can...
Horses can smell blood in the water? Fuck.
No, horses famously can smell when you're scared, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of animals can.
I was just trying to riff, Eddie. That's
were you?
Yeah.
You know, this is a comedy podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe
you big
work
dumb
on your
fuckhead.
Comedy voice. No, I'm just like,
Classic.
It's really enjoyable doing the new material night. It's nice to get some. I'm one of those people who needs a reason to write, because otherwise, I every now and then, for one period of time in my let's call it a comedy career, at one point I got really good at writing regularly because I had the time. And now that I don't have the time, the only way to make me to write is to have a deadline.
Yeah.
So I loved
classic
it when we were doing
ADHD
the roast wars. Yeah, it's very much so.
Yeah.
When the roast wars were on, those were great because I always wanted to get better at that style, but I had no reason to write that style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I got so much better over the course of those. I wish they would come back so I can write for them again. And then the new material night's my new one now. I'm like, yes, I'm going to write.
Yeah, I got a friend who wants me to roast her for her her birthday party.
Oh, really?
She's having a birthday at a venue, and I've got to write like a 5-minute roast of her.
How close are you to this person?
Pretty close, very close.
Yeah,
one of my good friends, but
okay. Well,
her family might not.
Oh, really?
She's like. Some fucking...
Did you get a sort of like a read from her about what her
Yeah, she's like, no. There's like, there's
she's
a couple
like, no.
of...
She's like, can I have a read? No, just say awful things and make my family hate you.
Yeah, there's some subjects that I'm 100% not allowed to touch on.
Okay, so those are the ones you're going to talk about, yeah?
Yeah. Get up, yeah.
You literally start with, I was told I wasn't allowed to talk about this, but just top a couple of roast jokes.
Yeah, so I've got a few. I've got a few. Just going to make fun of her for looking like Gollum.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You know what? I had a mate who's really good at roasting in, you know, Gavin Scott in Sydney. Yeah. I asked him once, because he wins a lot of roast wars, at roast battles and things like that. So I asked him once, oh, what's your secret? Why do you why do you win a lot? And he's like, you know what he does? He literally gets a picture of the person he's supposed to be roasting. He puts it on his phone screen as he's like main phone screen. And then he just fucking hates on that person. Like, he just hates. I'm like, wow, I'm not that kind of person. It wouldn't work for me, you know what I mean? Because I don't... When I get hateful, I get genuinely hurtful. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I don't really get hateful, but if I ever did, it would not be witty hate.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? I know.
It'd just be aggressive hate. Yeah. I can't... Like, I can only roast people when I like them, when I know that we're... That is taken in jest.
Mm. Yeah.
Then I'm very happy to roast people. I love roasting people, but I just can't do it. Like when it's strangers, oh, that's when I'm the least. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not a roast comic. Like I don't. I've never like even
it's
signed
a style
up for.
I'd want to get better at it, though. That's why.
Nah, I just like.
It's a good one to have just in your back pocket, like if a heckler's.
For hecklers,
That was my main reason for wanting to get better. Yeah. If I ever needed to, you just have a couple of lines in your back pocket you can reuse.
Yeah.
For, like, the most basic features, you know, like, here are my glasses roasts, you know, people with glasses. Here are the roasts for the bald people, you know what I mean? Like, just the basic features.
Yeah.
And then if anybody hits you, you've just got a few in the back, you know, just canned lines, essentially.
Yeah. We've all got those. I went hard on a guy a couple of weeks ago at the Stag and Hunter. He's like heckled halfway through my set and then I just immediately attacked the way he was dressed. It was like he said something and I was like, fucking look at you dressed up with your pink shorts on. Big fucking poof.
Oh my god.
Straight at him.
So clever. What witticism.
I know. But it killed. Yeah. It fucking killed. Just because when someone like he was like an obnoxious heckler. He was a fucking asshole. So you can, it's like when you get heckled,
you can
get away with so much worse if someone's being an asshole on stage because you're like, everyone here hates you. Mm. And now I'm just saying what everyone's thinking.
Now I can call you a slur and get away with it.
Yeah.
But you know, I've seen people go like comedians go too hard on someone who hasn't reached that point in the audience yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When someone's been heckling a little bit, they're a little annoying and the comedians are taking it harder because, you know, they're the ones very focused on what's happening on stage.
Yeah.
What they might have to deal with on stage, right? But the audience themselves haven't thought they don't actually, they're like, oh, he called out two times. Oh, cool. Yeah, continue with the show. Like they have. They're well, not they aware get, that he's an arsehole.
They all get afraid that, like, oh, what, none of us can have any fun? Because that guy was just having a little bit of fun and then he got fucking dunked on for it.
Yeah.
And then it shuts down, like, the
it's
like,
actually worse,
it kills the mood.
Basically. Well, or just you go too hard because, like, you've got to... The hardest thing for hecklers, I think, is just controlling the level of your response to them. Because, like, if they heckled a little bit... Oh, you shut them down funnily, but not in a way that, like, they're actually that chastised.
Yeah.
You know? And then if they continue to be a nuisance, then, like, the bar gets higher and higher for where you can hit them with.
I think Stanhope had a good one where he was like, a heckle in a comedy show is like a fart during sex. Like, it's not going to completely stop me. But it's just enough to, like, make me pause for a second.
Yeah. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. Because most of the time they don't even realise. Like, I've spoken to so many of the hecklers after a show.
Yeah.
99% of them have no idea that they're being a nuisance. And, in fact, a lot of them just think they're helping the show.
Oh, yeah. The worst.
Huge amount.
Helpful hecklers are shit.
Because, they won't... Oh, you got a laugh off that, though. It was like, but that was my laugh. That was not your laugh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And if you're done, let me do what I'd prepared. I think the best way to think of it is, like, that whole idea of if I've got 5 minutes on stage tonight, 5 minutes, I've gone home and I've prepared, I've written jokes, I'm ready to try something and express my art, you know, like, I'm ready to perform this 5 minutes. And even if it's not going very well, I'm not going to get I'm not going to get a proper read off the material I spent ages preparing if you start heckling in the middle of it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, sometimes the set isn't going well and then they heckle and they think they're better. They think, I've helped.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, okay, so there's a little momentum in the room. Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
But it's still, you still made it about you. In my only 5 minutes I have all night.
Yeah, I'll have... You, the annoying ones are when you're pausing or you're taking a moment before hitting a punchline and then someone yells out a punchline and it's shitter than the one you had, but they've thrown...
They've ruined the momentum.
They've ruined the momentum.
So your punchline's not going to work now.
No, no.
And because they don't understand any of that. They don't know about momentum and about tension, building tension and breaking it. They don't know any of that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. If I do it, I'll do my punchline and then I'll get a big pop and I'll say to the person... Just leave it to us, dude. Like, leave it to us. Like,
my least favorite one, one of the jokes that I do about where I do the synonyms for wet, right? And I have to be so aware during that bit. And I used to want to take space with it. You tried to take space with it because you get a bigger laugh at the end if you take space with it. But I can't take space with it because if I take too much space, somebody from the audience yells out moist. And it's like, no, that's not in my punchline, but my punchline's better.
Yeah.
The word moist has been overused for jokes.
Yeah.
For years. It no longer has any punch.
I would write that into the bit.
I know, but I can't figure out a way to do it where it works.
Yeah. You could, though.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Just gotta... You could
not without
that out.
Breaking the momentum of that first punchline. Like I could do it like as an afterthought, but
yeah, I would put it back on the crowd and be like, and everyone fucking always yells out moist.
Yeah,
like put it back on them because you're like, I know that that's what's coming. There's a
but like I build the tension with the saying, oh, like I'm because I'm in the situation while I'm telling it like it's a story, like a situation that happened to me, and. Yeah. I think the closest I got to it is someone said moist and I'm like, oh, well, where were you last night when I needed or whatever? So I'm like, that was the closest
right,
I got.
And so
I
didn't really get a big response to moist. Yeah.
I didn't get, but like the
someone
thing is I set it up.
Yeah.
It was like I was sitting there thinking, what's a synonym for wet? And so because I've set it up like that, I've got anticipation for what I came up with.
Yeah.
So I can't put a moist bit in there without ruining the anticipation for what did I come up with for the synonyms.
Yeah, unless you go, I was sitting there trying to come up with a synonym for wet and I couldn't find any and everyone always says fucking moist, which...
But how does that... That just derails any momentum.
It could, but I don't know. The way I saw a comedian do it recently was like, she was like, I need help getting to sleep. Like, I can't figure out, like, how to get to sleep and someone yells out masturbation. She's, like, got this whole fucking response planned for, like, when someone yells out masturbation.
Yeah.
She's just like...
Well, it's just because I've set it up as an anticipation.
She's like, no shit, masturbation. You don't think I've tried masturbation?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but it works for that. I've set my joke
same
up
same as if
like
you said moist. Like, if you said moist, like, oh, my pussy's so moist, you're like, it really? Is that going to... No one wants to hear me say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, oh, moist is a gross word. So if you said that back, like, yeah, thanks.
Make fun of it.
Thanks for the suggestion. Like,
yeah, now you've made his dick soft.
Now you really want me to say that? Yeah. Especially if a dude calls it out.
Yeah.
You're like, but the words that's what you want me to say to you, bro? The ones that are going to keep his dick hard. So that doesn't make any...
Maybe.
I literally can't see a way it would work without just reducing the momentum. And the problem is that they usually call out moist. If I've left it waiting before, and they'll always call out moist just as I'm saying the bit that I said.
Yeah.
Which is like... the way I do it now, I just do it fast and then nobody says
works.
It.
Yeah.
It works.
And so I still get the joke. I have thought about it. And if you come up with a way, I'm totally down to add it to the bit, but I just don't see that working in a way where I can...
I just think it's
because
like,
it's anticipation. I set it up in a way that you're waiting to hear what my answer was.
Yeah.
Right? So I was sitting there thinking, what's a synonym for wet?
Yeah.
Oh, and then I go into the bits.
They're all gross.
Yeah, but the word moist isn't, it doesn't hit hard enough, so I can't use it as one of the lines.
Moist is as bad as soggy, to be honest.
Yeah, soggy's a rough one.
Well, that's the idea.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah, I know. It's
people
a good
are
one.
Thinking moist, and I come up with way worse ones.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Well, why don't you start with
I feel
moist.
Like the bit has been maybe. Ruined now on this point. Like,
we've broken down your pussy. That's what we've done. We've done a breakdown on your pussy, Eddie.
It's all right, Eddie.
Breakdown.
You can write
on the clip.
If there's anything that you can do, it's write more pussy jokes. I think we'll be all right.
Just look down. Oh, another one came to me. Yeah. I'm open to figuring out a way to put moist in. I haven't been able to figure one out.
Yeah.
I think it's just there on the table. It's like, it's there. Like,
I don't think that would work. I think that would just kill my momentum.
Yeah. Maybe. Let's find out. Let's find out this Wednesday. Stag and Hunter. Let's do it. Are you doing a show this Wednesday?
You're MCing.
I am. You are. Punch
Perfect. Perfect.
I forgot. I'm glad you reminded me.
Don't book yourself in doing other things.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a show at the club on Wednesday?
No.
Oh. Not that's the first Wednesday we haven't had something.
Maybe someone's doing weird Wednesdays, but
maybe they just do. Like, I looked online, I couldn't find one.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to check online before I said yes to MCing Punchline because I was like, what if I'm accidentally booked in already?
Yeah.
Sometimes I do that. I couldn't find one. So maybe they're just doing taking a week off or just doing movie night again. They've done those before.
Straight after a long weekend too.
Yeah
maybe that's why. Yeah. Because nobody comes to anything after the long weekend.
Yeah, they're all poor.
Oh, it's going to be real small, I just realised.
The Stag?
Yeah.
Maybe. That's all right. We fucking had 10 people in the crowd last week and it was a
I think it's only an
night.
Issue if they're 10 people who have already seen all of my bits.
Yeah.
Because I have done that before. I think last time I emceed a Punchline, because I used to be always at Punchline, everybody at Punchline knows me. So when I went to MC, I think Shell was there and she was like calling in my Punchlines as I was saying them.
Yeah,
I was like, I love that I've got a fan. But
they
like,
were at the Waterboard gig as well.
Yeah.
Shell and Pete.
Yeah.
Again?
Shell and Pete were at the Waterboard gig.
Yeah, I know. They came to my show at the Newcastle Hotel.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we're coming to Waterboard as well. I'm like, fuck, you're just having a full day of Eddie, aren't you? You're just following me around. They didn't come to the comedy club that night, though, so you know.
Yeah.
Not true fans. No.
I was glad I actually had some newer material that Shell hadn't heard before as well.
I think actually we all would probably have new material that she hasn't heard because they not stopped coming, but they just sort of come every, I don't know.
It's probably for the best for them. You know,
Well, I think they moved. That's why they stopped coming to the Stag.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because they lived near Waterboard. That's why they came.
Yeah.
Because they bought tickets to my show, apparently, and then they saw Waterboard was right around the corner. They were like, well, we have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they came to both.
Fucking legends.
They are legends. They're really cool people.
Yeah. Great.
And it's always lovely to have them in the show.
Yeah.
But it's nice now to also have them in a show where I know I can deliver some material they haven't heard.
That's
the biggest issue. It's like you love having repeat customers, but also sometimes it gets in your head about like, oh, they're going to hear the same material.
Yeah, yeah.
If you haven't written any new shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's why you keep writing new stuff. That's why we're doing the shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fucking rough week to be a boat driver.
Why is that?
Oh, yeah, the bridge that fell on the boat.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Oopsie daisies. You got any mad conspiracy theories about it? I got some.
No, but Steve Lurch said that was the driver of the boat Asian.
Oh, my God.
Where was it?
I don't know, man. It might have been the open mic.
I heard it.
Was it on stage or on social media?
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting that confused with the other joke. He said that, because allegedly Bobby crashed his fucking Tesla.
Mm. Did he really?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
You know, the way he fucking drives, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
He's fucking... we went out to get dinner with him one time and we were like, oh, let's go in the Tesla, why not, right?
Yeah.
And I was like so excited to go on a ride in the Tesla, right? And then he starts driving and I'm like, you know what? I think I'll walk. Like, I don't exercise, but get me the fuck out of this car.
Fucking
he
so quick.
He drives like a maniac.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe he won't anymore.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Not that Tesla, at least.
Also, Bobby, technically Asian, so.
Yeah. It's good that he's living up to the stereotype.
How badly did he crush it?
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fucked.
Yeah.
It's probably a write-off.
From getting food, because he had to drop us back in our cars after.
Yeah.
I almost didn't get back in the car. I was like, oh, we'll see.
He's a menace.
But then Ethan was driving, so I was like, okay.
Oh, did I drive it back?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I don't remember that. There you go.
Yeah. I wanted to drive. I was like, let me drive. And you were like, no.
No, you're a woman. Women can't drive.
Oh, they're very weird to drive if you haven't driven one before.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
You mean because it does that self-correcting thing?
No, not so much that. It's just, it's fucking odd. Like, you get in there and you're just like, this is like a spaceship.
Yeah.
And you can't hear the engine or anything like that. So it's really
odd. And they've got a really low center of gravity as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the battery underneath. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're fucking whack to drive.
Has he got insurance?
I would hope so.
Well,
yeah.
I doubt insurance will cover it.
That explains why he wasn't in a Tesla the other day.
Insurance will have to cover it.
No.
Wait, what? Maybe it was.
If you break the law, which results in...
This guy wasn't breaking the law. I just had an oopsie daisy.
Ah, they can fucking tell, man. They can tell. They know how fast you were going when you left the road because the Tesla has GPS and fucking CCTV cameras.
Here's a question, though. How, like... It can't be that, let's take it down a notch and say that he's in a 100 zone, he was doing 110 and he got into an accident.
Yeah.
Surely the insurance company can't then, or let's make it even closer, it's 100 and he was doing 102. The insurance company can't be like, oh, you were 2 kilometres over, so we can't pay you out. So where's the limit that they can say, oh, we don't have to pay you out?
If you break the law...
But technically, if you're going to, you're technically breaking the law.
And if you catch a fucking shitty... If I was your case manager, Bobby, you wouldn't get paid, motherfucker. I'd be disputing that sucker so easy. We'd be like, I'll go to court for this. Easy.
Because
there's no way you can get around that stuff. It is what it is. It's the law. So, yeah.
Fuck it up too
bad. If you veer off the road and crash into a tree, technically, you broke the law by crossing the double lines.
I know what you mean.
Like, where is the line? There has to be a line, because it can't be just if you're breaking the law at all, they don't have to pay out. That can't be right.
It is.
Because that's, like, stupid.
It is. Most
people would pay
insurance. I just did insurance training.
Really?
It is, yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's so messed up.
If you're drunk and
you're drunk,
crash your car, yeah, really. You're not covered.
If you're speeding, if you're not driving to the conditions and you have an accident. So let's say it's heavy rain and you're in an 80 zone and there's a corner that comes up and you hit the corner at 80 and you lose traction, that would be negligent driving.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. People get fucked on their travel insurance too because they're drinking usually.
Right.
Like if you get drinking and then snowboarding or just whatever, like you get drunk and fall down some stairs... And you think that your travel insurance is going to cover it because you're in America or fucking wherever, and that's going to cover the hospital bills? No, it ain't.
No.
Just because you have alcohol in your system, or because if you're like way over?
Yeah.
Alcohol in your system.
This just seems ridiculous then. Yeah. What's the point of getting insurance?
So, well, exactly. You got to read like the fine print because they put that in their clauses.
That's so messed
and shit
up.
Shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to read the fine print. That's how they fuck you.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, now I feel better for never having bought insurance. Like, I'm the smart one, okay? I'm the smart one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a huge amount of money to not get paid back.
Yeah. Do you reckon that boat driver had insurance? You reckon? I heard a theory about it today. So. I heard a theory that the boat was hacked by the Russians. So that it would drive into the bridge and collapse the bridge.
Is it a computer boat?
Yeah. All the boats are computers.
Really?
That's how they work these days, Eddie.
Like an
I'm sorry. I'm not on boats a lot, okay? I'm more of a land dweller. Okay.
Given the state of the world, it's probably a good idea not to be on a boat. The Russians hacked the boat, shut the system down, caused it to have the crash so that the US Navy can't leave that area. Because apparently there's a whole bunch of warships stuck there that they can't get through.
Really?
That's one theory.
But why would they not want our warships to get out? They must be attacking.
Because Russia's planning on blaming the most recent terrorist attack that... did you hear about the stadium that got attacked?
No.
See, no one heard about it. 120 people got fucking blown up and shot. They went into a stadium. They locked the doors. And they just started shooting everyone.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, so there was 120 people dead. And ISIS claimed that they did it. The Russians are saying that it was the West and Ukraine sort of organizing it behind the scenes, which could be true. And then they've also caught a few of the guys. Apparently they made one of the blokes eat his own ear. Yeah. Yeah, so they're in court. One of the guys is missing an ear, and
fucking hell,
fucking they've all been beat up and and all the rest.
So messed up.
Yeah. So Russia's gonna.
Where was this?
Russia.
All because of a boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. People aren't paying attention. We're on like the fucking verge of World War III. If you haven't bought like supplies,
no.
We are.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty fucked.
You haven't bought supplies. What are your supplies going to do?
If something happens,
keep you going. And for you need a couple of weeks.
You need to wait for a couple of weeks till you get rescued. You'll be okay. Yeah, unless the rescue doesn't come, and then you're fucked anyway. So whatever.
Yeah. Which but I at think the very we're least, fucked anyway.
We might be.
Yeah,
we might be.
Right. Well, this is what a
this is
a copy podcast. Yes.
Yeah. So, what's your
Stop
theory
checking.
About what happened with the boat?
Fuck me. Jesus, I heard about the boat one time on like the radio while I was driving. That's all I know about it.
Yeah.
I know the headline only.
Yeah.
I know nothing about it.
That's the theory that's, getting around at the
that's
moment.
That's all I know as well.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat as Eddie.
Yeah.
No, get out of my boat.
But I follow some really fucking wacky dudes on Facebook.
I'm sure you do.
On Instagram.
You gotta stop doing that, brother.
News for real. Check it out.
News for real.
News updates for real.
Fuck off. I don't want to know. I've got my own fucking problems.
He goes, "What's up, guys? We're on the verge of nuclear calamity. We're fucked in every way.
We're all fucked.
Fear-mongering.
Yeah.
There's like literally nothing that I could do in my life that would help the situation at all. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, even if I joined a political movement or something, which I don't have the knowledge for or, the passion for, I guess.
Well, you've seen what happened to people that fucking do that.
Fucking Jared. You go out, you buy a Middle Eastern scarf, you fucking you do a couple of walks.
Yeah, do a couple of protests, get on the news. Yeah.
Roll some lady in
bada
a wheelchair
bing,
down.
Boom.
Yeah. And then you're screaming at six-year-olds at a fucking family day.
And you come back and you're back to comedy.
Yeah. He's out.
Yeah,
he's not doing comedy.
Back.
He's not doing
fucking
comedy
hell.
Anymore. There's no way.
We'll have to relentlessly
Yeah, but we've always said that about Jared and then he comes back. So
Yeah, that's true.
But why?
But this one's pretty bad. this one's pretty bad. And then, so, well. It was good while
it
lasted.
It got super depressing real quick.
Mm.
Oh, us talking about the end of the world.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
It's making me depressed.
I've got to end somehow.
Yeah, I've had a bad week. Scraped the side of my van trying to pull it out.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst when that happens.
Missed.
How many times have you done it now?
To my van?
Yeah.
Zero.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I've done it to cars before.
Mm. I was concentrating too much on not hitting the side of it, and I forgot about the drawbar.
Table.
And, scraped the side of it. So I was like, that's fucked.
Yeah.
Great. And then I was like, I'm going to go for a push bike ride, and then I got a flat tire. I was like, I'm going to fucking kill myself.
And then you
Just
rolled, your,
la-
then you rolled your ankle on the way to the cliff. You're like, well, this is fucking shit.
Yeah. Dragging myself off the cliff. Fuck. I went out to Armadale, and on the drive out, I was like going through Thunderbolt's Way, which is crazy, like winding country roads. And some cunt in a four wheel drive just came across the double lines, like into my lane. Just like, I don't know. It was the weirdest response. I didn't flinch. I didn't like do anything. I was just like, okay, do it.
Oh, fuck.
<It's> like,
that's not good. Yeah. All right. So we switched from World War III to suicide. Here we go.
Well, I was just like,
at this point, it's assisted suicide.
Oh,
let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make him kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that won't affect him mentally at all.
Yeah. Thanks for checking that off my to do list, Kate.
He's just a helpful fella.
Just driving down the double lines like the whole way down, just in case somebody needs it, you know.
I've had exactly that response to oncoming traffic before. Not suicide, but just not even reacting. I was on Tomago Road. It's like fucking the worst road to drive on. I was leaving work and someone's like overtake a slower car. And then I'm like, was like 100 metres away. Like very, very close. And then at the last minute, I've just like just braked and swerved off to the side the tiniest little bit and he missed me by like a meter.
Mm. Like
it was
swerved out.
It was like, and it wasn't even like a, It was, I didn't even consider the fact that I was about to die or nearly died. It was just like I was so tired. I just remember just being tired, and I was like, "Ooh, that was a close one." And just like, and then like my brain just shut off again because I think it was like that situation where, you know, when you're driving on autopilot mode.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was on autopilot mode, and my brain didn't consider the fact that I was in fucking dire danger. And I just like slowly braked, moved off to the side. We all made it out. It's like, oh well, that would have been a funny story. Anyway.
I think so I've almost killed myself on a road just because, you know, when you're like behind somebody who's a slow driver, like I was behind this huge truck. It was one of those windy country roads as well. And you're just stuck behind it for ages, just starting to seethe. You're just like, fuck, oh, I just want to
come. Yeah.
Oh, I just want to get it. And so you just start taking like all these bad risks.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, it's like double lights, but like, oh my God, there's nobody up there. And so I like pulled out and I'm in a car that doesn't have a huge amount of gumption.
No.
So it takes a while for me to overtake.
Yeah.
Right. Or build up enough speed to overtake, right? And so I get to, I'm almost overtaking him, and then there's a car coming this way, and I was like, oh, I'm so close. You know how I took longer to slow down just because of the fact that I was like, I'm so close to overtaking him. I could make it. And the last second, I'm like, no, you can't, Annie. I pull back, and I had to, like, swerve on the side of the road. And it would have been fine except for the fact that, like, because it's a country road, it was, like, hills and everything, so there wasn't a lot of space on the side of the road. And the spot that I did pull over to was, like, right, like I came 30 centimeters away. Oh no, I think like even the front wheel was in it, in this fucking ditch, huge like fall down ditch. I could have literally died.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I stayed there for about 15 minutes or so, and I'm like, this truck should be gone now. So I now have got no reason to. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like that would be such a smarter way to get around it. It's just like slow down, watch Netflix for a little bit or whatever the fuck, you know.
Yeah.
And then just like when they're gone, then you can go about doing normal speed limit and it won't annoy you, but you also won't fucking die from trying to overtake people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the last time I did something crazy like that.
You sort of only do it once. Yeah.
Yeah, you do it once and you're like, oh, I could have actually died. Right. Maybe it's not so bad to be stuck behind a truck.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah.
You reckon that guy was texting?
Driving the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy driving the boat.
Is it one of those boats where you have to like with the wheels? he's just like texting and using his knee. That's what I used to do. Yeah. Not like that. No, but like I do like to drive with my knees.
Oh yeah, I'll drive with my knees while I'm eating. I'll demolish a fucking burger.
I've done that.
Yeah, 100%.
Sure. It's harder in the van. Like I'll still be watching the road, like being. But in the van, I have to lift so much higher to reach the wheel. I was like so good at it in my last car. I could literally steer better with my knees than I could with my fucking hands. I was that good at it. But now with the van, I'm like, oh, this is so much. What's that muscle you use to lift the leg? Point is it's your small quad. It's not a good muscle. I'm quad. Lifting it up going, oh fuck me.
Yeah.
So I can only really use it in like dire situations.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you can get fined. I'm pretty sure it's illegal
I don't think you're allowed to
eat while driving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they did that a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh whoops. I mean, I've never done it.
It hasn't stopped me.
There's no food detection.
What about, like, I just tend to do the fries.
Thank fuck there isn't, because I got done with a phone detection camera, and it is not a fucking very flattering angle to have me sitting down, straight down in a car.
Yeah.
I'm a fat guy, but I am way fatter on camera from that angle.
Yeah.
It's rough,
you saw the picture? I never saw the picture.
You can look up the picture, and I was like, even if I wasn't on my phone, I wouldn't fight it because I'm so embarrassed about how I look right now.
Didn't some woman get done with that and you can see a pussy? Wasn't that a thing?
That'd have to happen all the time. That'd have to happen all the time.
I got done at 1 a.m. on Australia Day.
Yeah.
Double demerits.
Fuck.
Ooh, that's a rough one. That's 10 points.
I lost 10 points one hit.
Yeah.
And I'm really annoyed because I was in Melbourne in the van going on my trip, right? Yeah. And the only reason I came back is because Mum insisted that I come back for Australia Day. So I drove almost all night.
Mm.
And the only reason I did it is because I got lost. I missed one of the turnoffs. So I was trying to figure out, you know, when you're on a highway, and it's one of those big highways, and you figure out, like, which one do I come off to get? Is this the right turnoff? So I was trying to figure out if I was going in the right turnoff or not.
Yeah.
Grabbed the camera, and I knew I'd gone done. I knew. But I didn't really, like, it just clicked at 1 a.m., just clicked over to Australia Day.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
I was very, very cross when I got that. And I wanted to blame my mum for it, but I'm like, no, I'm the dickhead who grabbed my phone. It's me.
Yeah, it's like your mum didn't make you miss the turn off.
Exactly. And to be honest, my plan was never to actually drive all night, but my plan was to drive 5 hours, sleep, and then drive the last 5 hours the next day. But I drove the 5 hours and I wasn't tired yet, so I was I'll just drive until I'm tired.
Yeah.
And then pull over. And after all of that bullshit, I had to pull over and sleep anyway. So I'm like, if I just pulled over half an hour earlier, I would have been fine.
I did Rockhampton to Newcastle in a day, 18 hours of driving, because we got to the Gold Coast and it was the same thing. I felt fine. It was 5 hours to the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're at my aunt and uncle's. And I was like, oh, actually, honestly, I feel fine.
Yeah.
I think we'll be able to go. We're at the Gold Coast now. Let's just get it. And then I got to Taree and I was fucking done. And for whatever reason, Tanya couldn't drive back then. She couldn't do long drives. She was like, oh, she'd get really tired. She'll get really tired and then she'll sit in the passenger seat and she wouldn't sleep.
Driving used to send me to sleep, which was an issue when I started driving.
Yeah, very, very bad.
Mm. I learned how to get over it, but still.
Yeah, so she had that issue. And then when I did let her drive, she didn't keep an eye on the fuel and we nearly ran out of fuel.
Oh, no.
I just woke up to the ding of the fuel light after like 3 hours of driving or whatever. And I was like, she's like, oh, we're out of fuel. I was like, what do you mean we're out of fuel? She's like, I didn't notice it. I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, that was a stressful trip. Mm. That was the first time I'd ever like semi lost my temper at Tanya. Like she was like, why are you doing a U-turn? Because I'm fucking tired and I've been driving for fucking 16 hours, all right? Just chill. She's like, whoa. I was like, I just really need to get home.
It's easy to ignore things when you're on the road, though, you know, like you're just staring straight ahead.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're emotionally fucking drained and then you're tired on top of it, you will fucking be more reactive.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Always
happens. Yeah.
Where are you going on your next van trip? When are you going away?
Well,
when school's back.
No, in like 2 weeks or something. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to go down to Melbourne for the comedy festival.
Yeah.
For a few little bit. I'm thinking about before then going and visiting Maddie up at the Northern Rivers for a bit, maybe.
Yeah, I want to go up to the Northern Rivers. That'd be sick.
Would you want to come or like coordinate?
Yeah.
Ooh. Van trip.
Oh my God, it's the best.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I'm thinking of going the first weekend of the holiday. So like, I think that's like 12th of April.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you're keen.
Sick.
And then I think I have to come back for the 17th because that's when I've got a show on.
Yep.
But then I'm going to host an open mic. And then after that, I'm going to head off to Melbourne.
What's that? 12th? That'd be a Friday. So that's a Friday, isn't 12th it?
12th is the Friday when we'd be heading off,
Yeah.
Wednesday is my show on the 17th of April at the Comedy Club in the Loop with Eddie Rockefeller and friends. Come along.
Fuck
yeah.
Yeah.
And you can also check us out on the 10th and 24th of April for Weird Wednesdays. On the 10th, we got the new material night. You're booked for that as well. And 24th, we've got Is This Something?
Sick.
Sorry, not Is This Something. Show us your bits.
I always
mix them up. Yeah. Always mix them up. But we've done an hour, Eddie.
Beautiful.
Apart from that, were there any other shows you wanted to plug?
I've got Pop Poetry coming up. I can't remember what date. It's in a couple of months. But if you check out the Newcastle Comedy Club page, it's called Pop Poetry, and it's dramatic readings of pop lyrics mixed in with like different sort of acts with you know, sketch, comedy, improv, things that all in relation to pop culture.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
Yep.
Good show.
Sounds fucking gay.
I was about to say that.
I did it for Newcastle Fringe back and it was actually a really good show. I really enjoyed it.
It would sell well, I'd imagine. People like pop culture.
Yeah.
Because people are dumb. fuck people. I hate people.
Oh, what a great end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aren't you technically taking part in pop culture by having a podcast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
It was the podcast all along.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Apart from that, fucking keep listening, guys. Keep hanging in there. Maybe one day this podcast will get good.
Or I'll kill myself.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah. Or I'll have to look for a new co-host.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel real bad about these words if you actually kill yourself.
Oh, so
please don't.
You
have to play them back at the funeral.
It's like, I just hope you knew that we meant it.
I couldn't be like, oh, the warning signs weren't there.
We openly discussed it. Talking about methods and memes.
It's like, oh, what did you say when you said that? Well, I made a joke about it, of course.
What did you say? I said, oh, do it, you pussy. Oh my god. Right. Just so you know, we love you, Ethan.
Yeah, please Very don't. Please don't. There's no one else patient enough to work with me in a podcast.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Right, bye.
Bye.